The Holy Gospel according to the first chapter of St. John, beginning with the 29th verse. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to please be seated. It was a really warm summer day, and more likely than not, I was barefoot, because that's what we did then. We ran around the whole neighborhood barefoot. I was in mid to early elementary school, and we're outside. I was with my sister and my friends, and all of a sudden, there was this weird thing in the sky, and it was terrifying. It was long, and it kind of looked like a big silver hot dog-looking thing. And it was huge. It was just above the trees in our neighborhood. In fact, I was in our driveway with everybody, and I was scared out of my wits. So I went running from the driveway in through the back door of the house, and I'm screaming, "Mom, Mom, Mom!" You know how kids do when you want your mom. And I'm running all the way up to the stairs, all the way on the main floor, down in the basement, and back. "Mom! Mom!" No mom. And I'm really scared. So finally, I go outside. And there's Mom standing in the driveway. And because my mom was tall and I was short, I remember my fingers grabbing onto her belt loop so tight. You see that giant thing in the sky. I didn't know what it was. I thought perhaps it's a big balloon. But that was scary because balloons aren't supposed to be that large unless they're hot air balloons, and those are pretty, not weird silver things. Is it the end of the world and this is an alien spaceship coming to take us away, and that's where my mom was? Seriously, that went through my brain. But somehow I hooked my fingers into that belt loop and I felt safe. And I asked my mom, "What is that?" And she said, "It's a blimp." "What's a blimp?" So she told me. And she told me that it was held up with hot air without really an engine like a plane would have. And it didn't fly that same way. And we stood there, all of us, in the driveway watching until it went over and we could no longer see it beyond our neighborhood and as far as our eyes would take us. That had a big impact on my life, because I really thought it was the end of the world and things were about to change, and it was scary. And just that safety I had, knowing my mom was there and I had that belt loop, and wherever she went, I was not letting go. It was fun to think about what a blimp did and what it was for. And as I pondered this scripture lesson this week, My mind went to that moment, that sense of wonder, of learning something new, experiencing something different in the world as I knew it, as that little girl living in Flint. Did John the Baptist and the disciples feel a similar sense of wonder? Did John the Baptist feel something like that amazing experience when he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained on Jesus? Did he have that same sense of wonder, fear, and excitement? I wonder if he did. Did you notice the exchange that happened between Jesus and the disciples? You see, as soon as John sees Jesus walking by that day, John's with the disciples and he points out to Jesus, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." And the disciples hear him and they don't question or anything. They just start following Jesus. Interesting. They caught on to John's enthusiasm and excitement experiencing the Lamb of God, Jesus. Well, there must be something good about it, so we're going to follow him. And Jesus, he stops when he sees this happening and says, "What are you looking for?" And they say to him, "Rabbi," of course means teacher, "where are you staying?" Now, in modern times, I would think they would want to know because of the whole paparazzi thing. You know, "Where are you staying? What are you doing, Jesus? Do you brush your teeth like we do? You know? Do you actually sleep? What do you do when you're staying somewhere?" And see, the thing about the word "staying" in our gospel, it's more than just like, "Where are you staying?" It means to abide and to remain and to dwell. So where are you? And Jesus, he could have went into some long diatribe and given him a huge sermon and blah, 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 "Jesus, Jesus, I am the Lamb of God," you know, like he kind of does sometimes. But he has a simple answer. He said, "Come and see. Come and see." So they came and saw. And they stayed with him until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because apparently the gospel writer needed us to know that. Come and see. And in the enthusiasm, we learned that Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, who was one of the disciples that had came and saw, he finds his brother Simon and says, "We found the Messiah. Dude, we found the Messiah." Cool. "We found the Messiah." And then he brings Simon to Jesus so he can come see him. Who looks at Simon and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And in that moment, Simon, in experiencing Jesus, is changed. He gets a new name. All because they came and saw. All because of Andrew's enthusiasm. All because of John the Baptist's enthusiasm, teaching people about who Jesus is. Where does he dwell? They have excitement in experiencing Jesus. Come and see. Their lives were changed in those encounters. And you see, our gospel lesson calls us to do the same. We come to see Jesus and to meet Jesus because we're willing to be changed, hopefully a little bit. Not a lot all at once, because that's too much, but a little bit. We're called to talk about what we've seen, to talk about what we believe, to talk about what we come and see day in and day out in our lives. And see, did you notice that the disciples, they don't hesitate, they just go. They were caught up in that excitement. They wanted to see what's going to happen. Their sense of wonder and amazement in the Lord. I think that's where faith begins. That's where faith begins. If we go earlier in our gospel lesson, in chapter 4, The Samaritan woman who has the water jar, she's talking to the people, and she tells them, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have done." She encountered Jesus, and he explained to her the things that she had done in her life, and that was her first encounter with him. Come and see this man Jesus, the Messiah. At the end of our gospel, Mary comes and sees that the stone has been removed from the tomb. Remember that from Easter? She sees that the stone has been removed. Another way to experience Jesus. And she runs into Peter and the other disciple, and they come to the tomb and look in, and they see. And one of them sees and believes. If they hadn't talked about their experience, would we know about Jesus ourselves? I don't know. Somebody talked about him, obviously. Do we have enthusiasm and excitement about our faith and the relationship we have in Jesus? That's the question. Do we share it with others in our congregation, that enthusiasm? In a way, yes, we do. We gather together each week to be together and to hear the word of God and to praise God. But what is it, I wonder, that others see in us that we know and the folks who visit? Do they see our enthusiasm? Do they see our enthusiasm in worship? And when we gather out in the gathering space, that we're happy to be here and glad to be here and celebrate that all that the Lord has done in our lives? When we attend other church functions, do they see our enthusiasm? Do we share that with them? Do we talk about how we love and care about one another? Now, I realize most of you are all related to each other in some way or another. We know that's true. But do we really talk about the love that we have for one another and our discipleship? Can people see, and do we see, that our joy is complete because we've heard Jesus' word and his joy and happiness is in us? Do people come and see us trying to witness and attest to our faith by helping others come and see Jesus in their lives, as well as expressing to them what we come and see? Do we see ourselves, and do others see us, as sinners who are forgiven by Jesus as we come to celebrate our Lord? Indeed, as the disciples do, it's our job to share with others who may not know who Christ is and know what a relationship is with Jesus. It can seem alien to folks who haven't heard the word of God. Probably more scary than that blimp was. Do we help people to understand all that Jesus is in little bits and pieces? You see, because when Jesus was experiencing these disciples and the relationship, he didn't go into a big, long diatribe, like I said. He kept it simple. Come and see. Three words, come and see. So if you encounter someone who doesn't know Jesus and you want to talk about him, and I hope you do, keep it simple. Relaxed. Because it can be kind of scary if you don't know. It's pretty awesome to be a follower of Jesus. And it's our job, our calling, really, to continue to witness to others, to invite and encourage them to live a life of faith, to find the places where Jesus abides in them and dwells in them as he does us. And it's our job to remind each other that Jesus is there for us, too, in those ways. Come and see. That's pretty awesome. Amen.